That's it.
Biggie Boy is back in a big way tonight.
I'm going to be in here beating guys and get my chance.
Jairzinho Rozenstruik, ladies and gentlemen.
That was it. So Montana De La Rosa submits Nadia Kasem.
So I just want to keep getting more fights and keep racking up the wins.
Montana De La Rosa.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. We have a busy show today, Matt, which I'm looking forward to. In just a moment, we have a friend of mine, and I know you like him too, returning, big UFC fan, really, really great comedian, Ronnie Chang, huge UFC fan. We also have Montana De La Rosa and Jairzinho Rozenstruik, the main event. We had Cyril Gane. We have Jairzinho today.
It's a jam-packed show.
I like it when you say that. You're right. Should we bring in Ronnie Chang? He is, I believe, here.
I can't wait to talk to Ronnie.
Yeah, and he doesn't need this. Ronnie has got a great career with The Daily Show. He just loves UFC.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up, Ronnie? How you doing? Matt was just saying when you were connecting that you look younger than last time.
Yeah.
What is that? What do you use? Noxzema? What do you do? What do you do all the de-aging?
Yeah.
Is it the Wing Chun?
I mean, I would say jiu-jitsu, but... Oh. You've been doing jiu-jitsu your whole life and you look like that, so I don't know.
Man, talk about turning a compliment and just taking a sword out at me. And you know what's funny? Just yesterday, Ronnie, I was rolling. Look at my right eye.
What happened?
I look like fucking, you know, they call it the gentle art, but Jimmy, some people don't get the memo about being the gentle art. You know, I was doing some round robin, passing the guard. And one of my brown belts, Pat DeFranco, he used to fight in the cage. You know, he's an MMA fighter. So, you know, he wanted to soften me up a little bit. And somehow I got a right hand.
Well, you okay?
What happens?
I'm worried about it.
Yeah, I'll survive. I think I look cool.
Matt, you got to defend yourself at all times, man.
Ronnie, the last time I have a fond memory, uptown in Manhattan, outside the Stand Up New York, me and you connected.
Yes, sir.
Doing our Tai Chi. Not Tai Chi. Wing Chun.
Yo, that video gave me a lot of street cred with the MMA fans back in Australia, man. They were I cannot believe you touched Matt Serra. Yeah.
Well, with my permission.
They were like, yeah, you got a huge following. Hey, have you been to Australia, by the way?
I love the Australians. They like me. They're great.
Yeah, yeah.
I went down there a couple of times to corner Raging Al, and they love Raging Al also. Everybody loves Raging Al.
Of course.
But they're so nice. The Australian people were so nice, Jimmy.
Yeah, I've been there. I've been there once. I liked it a lot. Sydney and Melbourne. I spent about a week. Huh? Did you go often, Ronnie, or you did one gig down there?
No, man, I used to live there. I lived there for like 10 years.
Oh, maybe I knew that and then just forgot.
Yeah, I lived in Australia.
Where? Yeah. What brought you to Australia? I might have known this and my memory just sucks.
Dude, you're such a good friend with Ronnie.
Okay. I went there.
I lived there a decade.
But I forget. I didn't know him then.
My good friend Ronnie lives in. If I had one of my good friends living in fucking Hong Kong, I know that my friend's not in the States.
No, but this was before we met.
I'm sorry. Ronnie got me on the defense then.
I went to Australia for law school. So I ended up living there for like 10 years and yeah, I started doing stand-up comedy there, and I started doing Wing Chun there. So Australia's got when I go back to Australia, it feels like going back, you know, hometown vibes.
Right. But by the way, what kind of law? Why law school in Australia? Because like you wanted to practice in Australia, I guess, right?
Well, because honestly, it's because law school in Australia is undergraduate, so you can you can go in when you're 19, as opposed to, you know, having to study 4 years and then going to law school again. So it's like you, the smartest thing you can do is go to law school in Australia or the UK where it's an undergraduate degree and then go work in America where you get paid more. So that way you maximize your, Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's an undergraduate degree there.
Okay. And you are legit. You and I used to talk at the Comedy Cellar all the time about UFC and MMA. Like, you're a legit fan of the sport. Like, you know who the fighters are, and you love it.
Yeah. I'm about to perjure myself, I think. But yeah, I've been watching since. I remember I can't say. Dana White's gonna come after me. But let's just say I remember in college in Australia, me and my friends will watch it, even though it was hard to get UFC fights down in Australia. We would gather in our room and we watched the fights, man. It was great. And I remember, man, it was like, I'm preaching to a choir here. Obviously, we're all UFC fans, but like, I remember just before the UFC was blowing up. I mean, we had UFC 1, 2, 3. I remember it was watching clips of people just fighting on the street, and that was how we would be like, oh, this style versus that style would work. You know, you YouTube like karate versus taekwondo, and that's how we like get our fix of fights that wasn't just boxing, right? We just want to see some different techniques and styles. And then the UFC came in, and that became it, and we were just watching it. So yeah, been watching for a long time, follow all the fighters. It's a real thrill to honestly talk to people about it, especially people who've been in the ring fighting, right? Actual athletes, not just athletes, but champions.
Ronnie, are you still doing Wing Chun, or did you just totally transition to BJJ? Or
no, well, after I spoke to you guys, that was like what, 2-3 years ago? Yeah, wow. I went pretty hard into jiu-jitsu, man. So I started training in New York City, just nearby my house, very convenient. And man, it's been. I feel like a jiu-jitsu evangelist now. I won't shut up about it. Everyone I go to, I'm like, hey, do you do it? Yeah, at the cell, I'm always like, do you guys do jiu-jitsu? And it, the beauty of it is I travel so much for work, right? Jim, we're always on tour or Daily Show stuff. Man, every city in the world has like at least 5 or 6 jiu-jitsu schools. I'm in Syracuse, New York, doing a college. There's a jiu-jitsu school. You know, I'm in Gold Coast, Australia. There's like 8 jiu-jitsu schools, you know. In fact, jiu-jitsu schools have become like a sign of gentrification. Like Gold Coast, Australia used to be like really like, shout out to Gold Coast, super trashy. It used to be like
tough area,
clubs and motorcycle gangs. And now when you go back there now, it's all coffee shops and jiu-jitsu and yoga, right? And, so every city you go to in the world, that's jiu-jitsu. And when you're like a white blue belt like me, you message people and they let you drop in, you know, it's a very welcoming environment. Everyone's always super friendly. You know, I go there just to get a workout, just to keep my sanity. And it's like meditation. It's like meditation. You have to stay in the moment.
How often do you go? I started thinking kickball. I wanted to take jiu-jitsu. I think it's much more practical with what I'll have to deal with on the subway. And how often do you go? A couple times a week?
Man, I mean, I haven't, since the pandemic, since March 2020, haven't been able to do it that much. Although I was in Australia for most of 2020. Towards the end of 2020, the state of Queensland in Australia actually has had 0 virus count for all of the year. So everything stayed open. So if you go to Brisbane, Australia, or Queensland, the state of Queensland, Brisbane, Gold Coast, these are all cities in Queensland. If you go to Queensland right now, it's like a time capsule. Like when you go into the city, it's, you know, no, like all the restaurants are open, jiu-jitsu is going on. It's like the virus never happened. And they don't know how good they have it. Like when you're in Queensland, they're like, why are you wearing a mask? If you wear a mask in Queensland, they literally are like, oh, you're like being a bit of a weirdo.
They think you're strange. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was able to train a bit there, but sorry, Jim, to answer your question. I mean, I got addicted bad, man. I was going like every day. So when I started doing jiu-jitsu in about 2018, end of 2018, I was going like every day. I would go, sometimes I go twice a day. It was becoming a real problem. Yeah. Just to hit the mats, yeah.
Did you throw away your wooden dummy?
No, well, the Wing Chun thing, like, it's hard to, when you're traveling, it's hard to find. Just jiu-jitsu has just kind of dominated the martial arts culture. So it's like, it's just easier to find a jiu-jitsu school, you know? And like I said, every city you go, because I travel so much for work, you know? And you don't want to be doing the martial art where you're training 1 week and then the next week you're not training. You know, you want consistency. And so jiu-jitsu is just... just numerically more schools. And so it was just easier to kind of find places to train.
Jorginho, how are you? How are you doing, sir?
Good. I'm great. How are you guys?
Good to see you.
Awesome. We were talking, Matt and I and Ronnie were talking right before you came in about how impressive it was. You were 11-0. You had a tough fight against Francis. And then how well you looked against Junior. Like, how was it for you to adjust to that first loss? Because you seemed to take it okay. And it really hurts a lot of guys. And it didn't seem to hurt your momentum at all.
I mean, it hurts. It affects me in a lot of ways. But if I can make two choices, sit back and think a lot about it, or go back to the gym and work even harder than before and come back. So that was my choice. And that's why I looked so good. And I try to move forward. Don't only look at the past. I don't forget it, but I don't look at it. So.
Now, let me ask you, Jorginho, did you have to get any kind of mental coach or anything? Because a lot of guys do that nowadays. A lot of greats like GSP and, you know, other fighters, they get mental coaches to help them get over that hurdle and of what they just been through of a loss. Did you or no?
No, I didn't. But most of the time, you look at your fights or you analyze your fight like, okay, maybe he wanted it more than me that night. So then you're gonna look back like, how was my camp? How was this? How was that? How was everything going through the fight? So am I making a couple of mistakes during my preparation, going through the fight? So I always blame myself and make sure that after that fight, I make sure that everything was better and even around me, we were on everything that I can be victorious again.
Jorginho, speaking of your, sorry guys, you don't mind by asking?
Not at all. No, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, Jorginho, when you're talking about your fight preparation and the people you have around you, obviously, you know, when you start out in anything, especially fighting professionally, you kind of have no team, right? You're kind of on your own, you're going for classes. Like, how hard is it to build the team of people around you? Like, where do you get the recommendations for these people? Like, in terms of like, do you have the network to find them? Do you put a call out? Do you interview them? Like, or do you go by word of mouth? Like, how hard is it to build the team that prepares you for the fights?
Okay, for me at this point, it goes like automatically. I have my coach, Michael Bob. He recognized me from since I was on the age of 17. And he kind of give it a steering. I've been striking with him for years. And now we're in the UFC. We went to Hard Knocks to find our place there, to make it our home. But it wasn't the case. Now we are at American Top Team. We see all those high level wrestlers and striking coaches. They are there. And that's the way we're building up, because it's feel good also, and it has to be how can I say this? It has to feel good, and on the level that I am, it has to be above me, and that is the case in American Top Team. So we had a lot of suggestions for how we should train, how we can do this, how we can do that. But not to forget, I'm just 2 years in the UFC now, and everything is new. Even joining the States now is new, and I'm still knowing everything, learning the MMA game, learn how to go out to talk with you guys, with the media as well. So everything is new for me, and I'm doing my best to put down my best performance in any kind of way in everything that I'm accomplished right now.
And a guy like you're fighting too, Ciryl Gane is impressive. He's another guy who has not been in the UFC that long. And of the seven wins, I think what impressed me the most is the fact that one is a decision and then it's three submissions, three knockouts. Like, he seems to be pretty effective in every area of MMA.
If I look at a fighter as Ciryl, I see a fighter that he can do everything. So that can mean one thing. I'm going to stand in front of him in my best shape ever. I'm gonna be there, make sure that I win this fight, and nothing else gonna stop me.
Yeah, he has a beautiful a left body kick, which I'm sure you're aware of it. I mean, if I've seen it, you've noticed it. I'm sure you're prepared for that. But I wonder if he has fought you. You have such great low leg kicks as well. I mean, again, even in the Ngannou fight, you threw a tremendous leg kick to start the fight against Dos Santos, you had a lot of beautiful low leg kicks. So I don't know if he has fought anybody that does that as well as you either.
We're going to see it on this Saturday, sir. I mean, not to take away, the guy do a phenomenal job. He win his fight, and that's what you have to do to get in the top. And I'm impressed by his work. But this Saturday is my time, and yeah, we're gonna let everything go.
It's gonna be fireworks. I'm sorry, Jimmy. I love your shirt. Do you like The Simpsons, or is that just a comfortable shirt, Yarzino?
I like The Simpsons too.
You do like The Simpsons, don't you? Now, is that one of your Simpsons or Family Guy? You can only have one.
I go Simpsons.
There's rarely somebody that goes, I like both. They're either Team Simpsons or Team Family Guy. Yeah. You're Team Simpsons.
100%.
I've never seen a full episode of The Simpsons. I'm a pop culture idiot. I've seen little moments of it. It's very funny.
Yeah.
And I've never seen a full episode.
I always was The Simpsons. It's funny. It's relaxed. And make me laugh a lot.
Yeah. Supposedly one of the greatest shows ever. I mean, everybody, what did you get into it when it started, or did you like catch up when people told you about it? What got you into the show?
I mean, growing up, I grew a little bit up with it. So seeing it on the television, and then it's kind of, while I'm growing up, I just stopped watching it, and now I'm all in it.
I think Simpsons is older than you, right?
Sure. Can you
talk a bit about, like, do you enjoy like doing press conferences immediately after fights? Like, do you want like a break? Like, can we do it the next day, or are you okay with like just going in the cage, fighting someone, and then having to do a big press conference afterwards?
No, I'm okay with it. I'm comfortable with it. Yeah, it's fine.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, if I was fighting someone for like, 25 minutes, I'd be like, you know what? Can we do the press conference tomorrow? Because I am emotionally drained.
I think it's better to do it right away, and then I'm done with it. So tomorrow I can do something else.
And not to mention, he only has one loss. If he was batting 500, he'd be like, half the times I love the press conferences, half the times they suck. Yeah. But he only had one bad experience at a press conference. Now he's usually sitting there saying how he put a guy unconscious.
Yeah, no, your press conferences are usually pretty quick because the fights are quick. So it's like, all right, well, you know, what was it like the 15 seconds it took you to knock that guy out? So I guess, you don't mind a press conference after a quick fight like that.
Nah, that's for sure. Sometimes the fights are long, but sometimes the fight can be short. So,
well, yeah, the Overeem was 5 rounds. I mean, that was the full 5 rounds. What do you think, by the way, of John Jones jumping up to heavyweight? What do you think of that?
Nah, it's motivating. I mean, John Jones is one of the best ever, and knowing he's coming to the heavyweight, I'm in the top three, top four. I mean, I can face a guy anytime. So the only thing I know is train hard, make sure you're ready. When that fight comes, you want to win that fight.
I'm sorry, Jimmy. I just want to get your thoughts. If you've watched this past weekend, Derek Lewis versus Curtis Blaydes, your thoughts on that fight?
No, I think Derek had a great timing, and he was waiting. He was waiting for that punch. Like, as he said, he was waiting for that number one punch, and Blaydes shoot right into it. And we know Blaydes going to shoot. So I think it's a bad timing for Blaydes, but a good timing for Lewis.
Yeah, and he said he couldn't get started till he's so honest, Derek Lewis. And he said that he just couldn't, even in warm-ups, he just couldn't get his energy going. He felt like he just couldn't get it moving. So I guess he really was just waiting for his energy, so he didn't waste his energy, I'm guessing.
Nah, I mean, sometimes you have to know how to place your energy in the fight. But sometimes opportunities are there, but you're too tired to take it. So you have to know how you spread your energies and during the 25 minutes.
Have you had that? Have you been in the cage and went like, I just don't have a lot of energy tonight, or I didn't time something out right and I'm way more tired than I should be?
I think everyone has that in a fight, because every fighters are different. So sometimes you train this and you get him there, but you can't finish the fight. And then he moved that way. And then is it like in the Overeem fight, I was frustrated in the fight. He was doing this and I'm like, okay, I'm going to catch him with that. And then he was gone. And I was like, he was doing this and then he was gone. So frustrating and conditioning and working at the same time. But in the end, I still got him. So, I mean, yeah, Everybody has a fight.
Jorginho, I was asking earlier about building your team, and I guess where I was coming from wasn't so much the MMA team you have around you, but the kind of additional support people. Like, I don't know, are you getting like dietitians? Are you getting like social media managers? Are you getting agents and managers and business managers? Because I'm also new to America. I've only been here for like 5 or 6 years. And one thing I noticed is that when you start performing in America, whether it's martial arts or it's entertainment, suddenly there's a bunch of middlemen who start coming in. I don't know if you've experienced that and how you deal with it. Do you like vet the people with your friends? Or, I mean, can you talk about a bit about building your team in America? But it's not the, you know, necessarily the people to tell you how to punch and choke someone out.
Yeah, the non-fight people.
I think it's really necessary. I have a social media manager. I have a mentor. I have a nutritionist, and all those things. Yeah.
I mean, and it keeps coming.
And I have a whole team about wrestling, jiu-jitsu, striking, and boxing. I mean, it's a whole team, but we have it all there in American Top Team, so it makes it a little bit easier.
You know, and the championship rematch between Ngannou and Miocic, the first fight between those guys was really interesting to watch. Stipe, who had so much more experience, kind of know what to do to neutralize Francis's punching power. How do you see a second fight between them going? You know, with, again, Stipe has already done that. Do you think he'll be able to do that again? Or how do you see that going?
No, I don't know. I mean, Francis is a younger guy, also strong, big. Not to forget and to mention Stipe's experience. But I'm thinking it's going to be a really interesting fight, and I'm going to be excited watching it.
So if you get this win, you know, they said Jones is getting the winner of Miocic and Ngannou, but you'd like to be in a position to maybe fight, if not the next fight, then the fight after. You'd like to be in title contention if you win this fight and the next fight or two.
For sure. I mean, after this fight, I'm looking for a quick turnaround. I want to fight at least one more. And yeah, get myself in the wash machine a little bit, because it's a long time that I didn't fight. For me, it's long, 6-7 months. And now I'm going to fight again. So I'm going to look for a quick turnaround, even June or May. And when the title fights come, I'll be ready and in shape for it.
You know, I mean, as a fan of the fighting, I would not object to, again, you have to get through Cyril Gane first, obviously. I mean, but if you win this weekend, you against Derek Lewis, I think there's nobody that wouldn't enjoy that fight.
Nah, I mean, Derek Lewis is a big, strong guy, of course. I don't know. We're going to see it.
Yeah, I mean, that's
an interesting fight. It is an interesting fight, but...
Yeah. Yeah, really interesting.
Hey, Jorginho, let me ask you something. Enough of this MMA shit for one second. Let me ask you, for the fans at home that like to get to know you, one thing, a hobby, maybe a book you're reading, a Netflix series, maybe you like the bowl. What? Give me one thing unrelated to MMA you like to do. Besides The Simpsons, besides watching The Simpsons.
Video
games! Yeah,
video game. I play a lot of video games.
You play UFC 4?
Of course, I play UFC 4. I play UFC 4, I play FIFA, Mortal Kombat, Call of Duty. They are the most game I play every day, like almost every day.
Oh man, your Mortal Kombat over Street Fighter? Oh man, that's...
No, I go for Mortal Kombat.
Listen, what are you guys going to bring up next? Donkey Kong? Let me bring the light here. This is what I want to bring up to bring the light. The Oculus Quest 2. Listen, Jorginho, this thing is great. You ever play virtual reality?
Virtual reality, no.
Oh my goodness. You go right to Best Buy. Send one of your guys over there to Best Buy. Get the Oculus Quest 2 and you put the headset on and you're in a world. Forget about PlayStation. You're in a world and you're murking fools. I love that thing.
Yeah. He got me to get one. I got one because of Matt. And I don't do the combat fight because I'm not good at it. I get dizzy. So I just stand there and I do boxing like a middle-aged lady. But I do enjoy it a lot.
Now you're
That's nice. I heard of it, but I never got it yet. But I'm going to look for it. Thanks for
Do you get motion sick? I get motion sick, so it got me a little bit queasy.
You stop turning him off with the
thing. I have to ask him. I don't want him getting pissed off at me. He buys it and he gets sick. All of a sudden, I get punched in the head.
He's gonna.
I don't get motion sick. I just nah.
Oh, okay. Warrior. You'll love it.
Jorginho, it's for those of us who our lives aren't as good as virtual reality. If your life is doing well, which you are, because you're on a hot roll right now, you don't need virtual reality, man. Reality is good enough for you.
Well, we agree to disagree, but it's okay.
All right, Jimmy. Well, look, good luck. You know, we love watching you fight, and I was really happy for you against Junior. I thought that was a really, really good fight. And you know, you got the you know, the L is out of the way now, and you got a very tough guy ahead of you, and something, and so does he. He's got to deal with you. So we'll talk to you on the other side of it, man. Have a great fight on Saturday, and either way, we're looking forward to talking to you again.
Yeah, great comeback win.
Thank you, and yeah, for sure this Saturday is gonna be fireworks. Ahmed.
Yes, I can't wait to watch it. I can't wait.
Wear the Simpsons shirt or wear something Simpsons to the next weigh-in. Maybe you'll get some sponsorship.
Because you don't allow it.
Or they won't let you do it.
Get sponsored by
anyway. That'll be do it anyway.
Ooh, yeah.
No, maybe they'll put him in the future.
I won't let myself in trouble.
All right, buddy. Good talking to you. Take care. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Guys, have a great day.
Such a nice guy.
Yeah, really, he's great.
You know? It's so interesting because I don't get to talk to athletes very often, other than retired ones. But you talk to them and they're like, "Oh yeah, we like video games. Oh, you know, we like The Simpsons." And then you watch what they do for a living, and you're always like, "Damn,
yeah,
people."
Yeah,
well, they're human beings. What do you think? What do you think they're doing in the when they're not on there? They just got a raw bone like a dog. That, with a spike collar on. Fuck, you just I know. Nah, man.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool to see. It's good to get their personalities out and see what they're about. But I didn't know if I was going to put him on the spot because I wanted to ask him what his thoughts were on the whole, you know, Usman, Khabib not wanting to fight each other thing. It's, you know, because they're on the same team. I don't know if it puts him in the headlines for the wrong reasons if his side comes out either way.
Oh.
On the
position, you know? Have Usman and Khabib been talked about? I mean, that's a tough fight for Khabib. I know that he's so dangerous, but I mean, to go up and wait.
Isn't he retired?
I don't know. Yeah, I'd rather see him fight. There's a lot of people I'd rather see Khabib fight. Oliveira. I'd much rather see him fight Oliveira than Usman.
Well, I mean, if his thing, again, I don't know any of the people involved personally, but if publicly Khabib is saying that he needs a challenge, right? He's not saying that his whole thing is, I want to fight someone worthy of fighting, right? He's at the point now where he feels his legacy is cemented. He's the champ. Literally, he is the champ right now. So if he wants the challenge, I feel like it would be a weight class shift, right? I mean,
maybe
if that's your goal is a fight challenge, that's, you know, but you know, what, you're right. His frame isn't the right frame for that kind of, you know, why fight at such a disadvantage?
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting question. What would he do to consider a challenge? And it's also got to be a big enough name. I mean, let's be honest. He's already dealt with the Conor and the amount of money that he can make from doing that. And Justin Gaethje. I'm looking over at the lightweights. I mean, if he wants a challenge, I mean, he's never fought Ferguson, no fault of his own. It just happened. And Charles Oliveira, I think, would be a great fight for him. Or Michael Chandler, who maybe needs one more fight before a shot at the belt. What do you think, Matt? Michael Chandler would probably have to get through one more person, even though it was devastating what he did to Dan Hooker. But Hooker is number six. And I don't say that dismissively, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, stylistically, it would be the fight that you expected with Khabib versus Justin Gaethje. Like, in other words, nobody thought he'd take him down and control him the way he did. It's like, you know, with Justin. No, they thought that his wrestling would just negate that. You know what I mean? Would just take it away. But, like, I've seen Michael Chandler in such crazy scrambles in practice that's the fight, and in fights, where that's where is he going to be able to be held down? Like, that's what you would think of. And he's obviously explosive standing up. So that would be a fantastic fight. But then you also look at Oliveira, where, you know, he's one of the most dangerous guys off his mat. He's got that pinpoint jiu-jitsu. When the submission's on, it's on. So, it could just put somebody to sleep, break an arm, whatever it is. So that's also intriguing. So, you know, there's a lot of things you could make as a fan, but it's all about the mentality of Habib if he even wants to step back in the cage. Because if he does, because he's not stepping back in there for the wrong reasons. He's not doing it for more Benjamins. He's, you know, unless his mom, unless he literally gets motivated to want to maul somebody again.
I mean, if it's between those two guys, I mean, Poirier made the point in publicly in press conferences that even Poirier said Oliveira should be the guy because he's the next, he's done enough, so to speak, to do it, you know. So it's interesting, the fight game, like how, you know, like Chandler coming in and having one good fight, and it is one good fight, but the shine is there, right? Even though, and everyone's saying like, oh, he hasn't fought enough in the UFC, which he hasn't, but the shine is there. The allure of that fight is there just from that one punch, right? That one first round.
Against the guy who was so respected too. Like, again, even though Dan Hooker was ranked number six, which is still top 10, I mean, he's really a tough guy. And I don't think anybody expected that to happen to him. So yeah, you're right. He's got the shine. Certain guys just come in and do it. I mean, Gaethje against, Michael Johnson, I think was his first fight in the UFC. He came in as like this 15 or 14 and 0 guy from another promotion company. And he was amazing. And some guys like Ben Askren come in and have a tough time. Yeah. So,
what I love about those guys is like they kind of if you are a pro fighter and you have one or two maybe three losses on your thing, and you know I feel like those guys prove that you can overcome that, or you can overcome that journeyman gatekeeper role. Right. You know what I mean? If you just keep, you know, like I don't know, if you keep fighting people and winning. I mean, which sounds obvious, but you know, I'm talking about that shine, that kind of that weird. That intangible thing that makes fighters, you want to see a fight from these guys, right? And you know you lose that shine when you have a few too many losses, and it's nice to see that you can overcome that. Basically, like your career is not over just because you've got you can come back, you can be champ, you can be well respected. You know,
it's like when they got that shine, they got that glow, like the Last Dragon. When you got that glow, and he's doing like the, all of a sudden you see the glow around the Last Dragon. Did you guys see the Last Dragon?
Well, that movie? Is that with Nicolas Cage?
Sure enough.
Do you know there's like five movies called The Last Dragon? I don't know which one there's like.
I'm talking about The Last Dragon, Ronnie. Get your shit together. Listen, it's from the 80s. You have Google near you? Google it and let's see how many Last Dragons come up.
I would have thought it was from the 70s. Well, listen, I would have thought it was
my father brought me to that movie theater as a kid, and this story about this kung fu artist that was looking for the glow. He needed to get that extra that he couldn't achieve the next level, but it was always within him. I don't want to give nothing away, but I want you to watch it. I don't give out homework assignments, but I'm talking to the Unfiltered Army because they like when I suggest movies.
Well,
if you Google The Last Dragon, there's going to be like 100 different matches. Yeah. So good
I'm
luck
do it right now. It
we have our right guest. Now. We have our next guest here too. If you want to bring her in.
Well, now I want to see if she's seen The Last Dragon.
Well, let's see if she has. Let's bring her in. Hello, Montana. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Very well. And I'm guess sorry, you're
Jimmy. Just for the record, how are you, by the way? Nice to meet you, Montana.
I'm great. Nice to meet you.
Ronnie. Our friend Ronnie, but did you ever see the movie The Last Dragon? Not to start this off weird.
No.
Okay. Well, listen, you're very young. I'm but just so you know, I Googled it and it's all over that shit. Excuse me, my language. Look at that. The Last Dragon, what I talked about, Ronnie. So I don't want
to. Okay, Matt. Thank you. Thank you for teaching me about. Thank you for teaching me about your 1980s pop culture. It's very relevant right now.
We're gonna learn. All right, let's start the interview right now, okay? Yeah. Hey, Montana, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Good. I'm really good because I've never seen The Last Dragon. Oh shit, we're right back to that. I apologize. So now, right now, are you in quarantine right now, or is that over for you?
Pretty much the whole time we're here, we're in quarantine. I think we're not even allowed to go like eat or anything.
Can't burst the bubble.
Yeah, it's the bubble.
The bubble can't get burst.
Right. Oh, you're okay. So now, have you been over to Fight Island?
I have not. No.
Okay, because yeah, I imagine over there it's kind of the same thing. Matt, you would know the difference.
More quarantining. So listen, you know, but it's good. Listen, you're not in Vegas to party. You know that. You're there for handling business. It might be a good thing.
Yeah, I'm used to it. I usually don't go do much besides maybe go to dinner, but that's about it. So it's normal.
That is normal.
I got business to take care of.
Yeah. Does it help you to go out and like do something to clear your head a little bit? Or how do you keep yourself ready before a fight? Does it help to distract or do you like to think about it?
A little of both. I think my coaches help me to distract, kind of get me laughing and just get my mind off of the actual fight. And then when it's time to dial in, which is just a short period of time, they're able to help me refocus. So just kind of reading books and just focusing on myself, meditating, all that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, you have the, do you have the mad setup? Oh, I'm sorry, Matt.
No, no, I was just asking if she's reading like books on like serial killers or no, people get into, hey, I remember Frank Shamrock used to do that back in the day, read serial killer books to get ready for a fight. What books? That's fucking weird. I guess to get into that mentality, are you reading books to escape? Are they like?
No, I'm reading The Champion's Mind. So that's pretty good. Yeah. Just stuff like that.
Oh, that's some Tony Robbins stuff. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good.
You have the mat set up in your hotel room to train and.
Yeah. So we get a hotel room like right next door that has the mat and all that. So we've been over there a couple times already.
Oh, you get two rooms, one just to kind of live in and then one to go and.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have, I'm fascinated by these things. Do you have the portable in room little sauna? Do you have one of those?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh. That's much needed.
How do you clean them after? Because I heard DC talking. Cormier was talking about borrowing someone's. And I'm like, who would loan somebody their little sweat box? Like, who would want to loan a person that? How do you clean that?
You actually take it off. Like, there's this cover around it and you throw it in the wash. But I mean, the UFC does all that here. It's actually their sauna. So I have one back home too.
You do. And does it actually work? Is it really effective? It does actually
help? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's really effective and it takes up a little bit of space. It's perfect for what you need it for, to sweat.
Man, we're not there to clean saunas. You're there to kick ass. Montana, let me ask you, where did you grow up and what discipline did you start with?
So I grew up in a small town called Azle, Texas. I was born in Helena, Montana. But I started with wrestling. Well, I did a bunch of different sports when I was younger. My dad was always throwing me into different sports. And then I got into wrestling in high school. And then I was going to go wrestle in college, but I had a daughter when I was 15 years old and I wasn't able to like leave. And yeah, I didn't want to leave my family and everything. So I stayed there and found an MMA gym and started training and just got right into professionally fighting.
Wow. 15 is very, so is that something like, cause you hear, but you certain times people have kids really young. And then as their kid grows up, it's like, you kind of become a friend too. It's like, it actually, I've heard that always like is a pretty good parent child relationship when you're kind of close like that.
Exactly. She's already like my best friend. She's much older than her years. She's so smart. I mean, she's a wrestler too. So we're kind of always just training and going to different practices. And she's definitely my best friend.
Wow. How old is she now?
She's just turned 10.
Oh, okay. And now does she want to pursue fighting because you do it? And would you encourage her to do it?
I don't think she wants to, and I don't think I'd want her to either. It's a hard life for sure. She wants to go to the Olympics for wrestling. So I think she can do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That way she don't got to get punched, Jimmy.
Yeah.
As a parent, that's, you know, I'm sure that's what you're thinking of Montana.
Yeah, exactly. It's just rough. I mean, you know, the whole lifestyle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Montana, I've been lucky to kind of train jiu-jitsu in Texas and Dallas and Houston and just dropping into schools when I'm traveling for work. And I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, I just feel like there's some affinity that Texans have with jiu-jitsu. I don't know, something, it like speaks to a lot of people there when like it's really funny as someone who, you know, look, I mean, jiu-jitsu's, I should let you answer before I keep talking, but I mean, do you feel that there is an affinity there, you know, with Texans and just that grappling, specifically jiu-jitsu art?
Oh yeah, grappling, like wrestling and jiu-jitsu, they just love it there. My gym is really good at making everyone feel like welcoming. Like I feel like a lot of the other gyms like up north and stuff, they're not as welcoming. They don't want you to come in and train with them, but like my gym back home, like we would let anybody come for free and just roll with us for open mat or whatever.
Right. I don't know.
Obviously you never visited Sarah BJJ in Huntington, Long Island.
I haven't. Is that an invitation?
That's an invitation because we're very welcoming.
Okay.
You know, Ronnie's got me wanting to yell, yeah, with all the Texans like the
yeah,
Texans.
there's something about that Texas, like, hospitality and right. politeness, plus exactly. that undertone of don't mess with us, that I think really gels really well with jiu-jitsu, because jiu-jitsu is I found in my experience that all these schools I go to are a very welcoming place as well, and they're ready to take your head off on the mat, you know, and I don't know, there's something about, and for me, I'm not Japanese, but as an Asian person, kind of, it's, I don't know. I feel really happy seeing all these like Texas American guys putting on the gi, bowing, talking about, you know, using Japanese names with the moves. I don't know. It just feels like a nice blending of culture.
Yeah, that's awesome. You hit it right on the button. It explains Texan jiu-jitsu for sure.
And you're married to a fighter, to Mark, and you guys were on the same card. I mean, I'm telling you who you're married to. That was very helpful of me. But you guys were on the same card. Would that add pressure and make it harder to, first of all, I don't remember who fought first, and how were you able to concentrate on your fight when you're watching your spouse fight?
Yeah. So usually we're in each other's corners, but for that one, I was like, he fought first. So I was like, I kind of got to stay back and just get my mind right so I can go out and perform, because it's really stressful. Like even watching your spouse fight, like you get so much nerves, and I think I would have been a nervous wreck if I was actually there by the cage. So I was able to stay in the hotel and just relax and then head up there and kind of get my mind refocused for my fight.
Now, you guys had probably wanted to do it at least once just to do it. Once you did it, were you like, oof, I didn't enjoy that? Or was it better than you thought it would be?
It wasn't too bad, and I would probably do it again. I don't know if he would or not. We've actually fought on the same card before for our pro debuts together, so we were kind of used to it. It wasn't anything too new.
Oh, and you were a couple, obviously. It wouldn't have mattered if you weren't a couple. Who would have cared? You know, the fact
yeah,
that you're a couple.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah, I always wondered how that would be like being with somebody who's in the exact same line of work. If it becomes harder, if you guys kind of bump heads a little bit because your schedules, or is it what you prefer?
We kind of do everything together. Yeah. But that's kind of why I went to Colorado for this camp, is just to kind of get out of my comfort zone and be able to train under some new coaches and just get my mind right.
How'd that do for your cardio training in Colorado?
I think it did very well. it should be good this Saturday. Should be good to go.
Did it take a little bit of time to get used? I mean, I've literally walked up a hill in Aspen and wanted to collapse. Like, so it takes getting used to.
Oh yeah. My first sparring session, I was just like exhausted. Like you're thirsty. You feel like you're drowning. Like it's rough, but I got used to it after a couple weeks. So I think that'll help me tremendously.
So I think there's some fighters, like when they start out fighting, they don't really, how open were you to like using science to like inform your camp in terms of diet and you know, tracking fitness?
I really don't use it too much.
Right. So you're one of those
kinda like, yeah, just kind of like grind, go, go, go. I kind of leave that up to my coaches and, just my coaches help me with that.
Doing the right thing, Montana. I think Thank Ronnie you. Watches some videos of guys running on a treadmill with a fucking snorkel, and he's like, oh, Montana, do right. that.
Put like, they didn't have that back in the day.
It's heavy for you. Listen, at the end of the day, you run some hills, spar, and get your jiu-jitsu in, you're fighting in a cage. Calm down.
Exactly. Yeah. They're trying to put way too much science into it.
Exactly.
You do see that, though.
You do prefer the Rocky montage versus the
a little bit of both. Yeah.
Yeah, you do see that, though. Like, guys running with those things on, and I guess that is for is that to regulate their oxygen? I guess that is to give them a little bit less. Is that what people do that for?
I'm sure Ronnie would know more about that.
The masks.
Yeah. They're trying to take in less oxygen as they're you know, exerting a lot of energy and whatever.
I'm a bad breather. So I look at that and I get uncomfortable. Like I have very bad, not that you needed to know this, we're promoting your fight, but I just wanted to segue into a moment about my sinuses and they're very bad. So whenever I see that, I really, I get panic stricken when if I can see those things.
It's for people like me who can't fight. And I look, and I just keep trying to look for scientific solutions to try to make myself better.
To find advantages.
Nice. Yeah, yes. To find advantages.
Now, Montana, you said you were reading that book. What are you and your husband, you guys watching anything like a series? I just got done with the first season of, it took me a little bit. I had to dive back in. It was like a fight. And then I really got into it. I got done with the first season of Peaky Blinders and I'm liking it.
That's exactly what I'm watching.
No, I can. Yes. It's so good. Now I'm in.
It is. It's really good. There's a lot, but it's good. Yeah, it keeps getting better. It's good.
Oh, what season are you on, if you don't mind me asking?
We finished it. We're waiting for the next season.
How many seasons? Oh, it's still going. How many seasons are there?
There's a lot. I think there's like six, maybe.
I started my journey. I got past it took me a little bit. I don't know.
It's hard to get into at first, yeah.
It took me a little bit to get into it.
Yeah.
Now I'm all in.
Oh, for sure.
I'm getting it.
I like that Matt said, if you don't mind me asking, that's funny. Like, it would be funny if you said, what season are you on? And you went, whoa, that's a little private. I would rather.
It's none of your business.
Yeah, hey, whoa, easy, buddy.
Montana, have you been to England?
No, I want to go. We know some people that live up there. I would love to make the journey up there one day.
Cool. Peaky Blinders would be your intro to... That's what London's like, by the way.
I've been Is it really?
Yeah, it's just gang warfare.
Really? It's that rough? Dang.
Well, does it take place? I saw I don't remember. I think I saw the first episode. And you're right. It takes a little bit to get into. Is it like from the 20s or the 30s? When is it supposed to be happening? Or is it not modern? I don't remember.
Not modern. It's
not, yeah. Right? Oh, it's back. Okay. Yeah. I don't remember why I didn't get into it. Maybe I'll give it another.
Matt thought it was the 80s in Long Island.
I'm like, the accents seem weird to me. Not Uncle Sam's. What club is that?
And by the way, you're fighting Myra Bueno Silva. Of course, we have to mention that on. We didn't really mention the fight. We're just talking about what were we talking when you came in? Like some movie? Oh, yeah. Enter the Last Dragon.
The Last Dragon, which you should all watch. I'm going to watch out my kids. I'm going to tell my wife because we look for new stuff to watch. I'm telling you, it's great.
Okay. I'll watch it.
And did somebody in your corner test positive for COVID at one point not long ago, right?
Yeah, it was actually my husband.
It was. Okay.
Yeah, he tested positive and they were trying to reschedule it. But I was like, I'm probably going to get it. And I ended up getting it 2 weeks later. So I was like, good thing we didn't reschedule that right away.
How bad was it? Any symptoms or?
He had a fever and just kind of lethargic, and I just had like a headache. I was able to run and everything. Like it didn't affect me too much. I just had like a light headache and a backache. I felt like I just worked out too hard.
Oh, okay. All right. So yeah, you got like a mild,
Jimmy doesn't know what that feels like actually.
not the whole workout thing. No, but I know that I've gotten backaches and someone said, that's what it feels like to work out. I'm like, ah. Like, believe it or not, I don't work out. This is natural. I know.
No way.
This gift is
no way.
Show us your six pack.
I don't think
so.
I
how
could...
long?
Oh, go ahead, buddy.
No. I was going to bring it back to something more serious. I was going to just say, how long did it take to get a negative test? 2 weeks.
This was my first test when I got back. When we came to Vegas. Yeah. So I actually have no idea how long it took. Okay. Me.
Yeah. I haven't been tested in a while. I'm hoping I don't have it, but if I do, I'm not feeling any effects, but yeah, a few final, like who is it? Shamayev is having like lingering effects. Some guys, it's crazy. Right. Some people get it. And then he canceled the Leon Edwards fight because he's having some a lingering effect. So some people just don't have it as easy.
Yeah, it's just crazy how it affects people so differently. Right. So weird.
Well, I'm glad you're healthy and you're ready to fight. This should be a great fight on Saturday. You're on an interesting card too, Ciryl Gane and Rosenstrike. That's really, that wasn't supposed to be the main event. I don't think it got bumped up about a month ago, and they both agreed to five rounds. So have a great fight. And thank you for coming on the show. It was fun talking to you. And we'd love to have you back on if you ever want to come on and talk movies or anything but MMA, because apparently we don't talk MMA. We just talk movies. That's
cool. I like it.
Well, it was fun talking to you, Montana. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Yo, Peaky Blinders, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
I'm digging it. I'm in. I'm fucking in. You know what I mean? I'm digging it. I'm enjoying that show.
Do you like England as much as you like Peaky Blinders?
No, I don't. I'm not even. Well, I'll tell you where they were great to me. It was in Manchester. They are so great over there. Oh, they, what great fans. Oh, my goodness. They were always so sweet. I was there anytime I was there. What's the matter?
No, I'm just laughing because the places who love you are like a little rough. The places that you're like shouting out are like rough places. That's just funny. Like, yeah, I went to, you know, I went to Iraq. It was super nice to me. Like,
well, I'm talking about the Australian fans or fucking sweethearts. I like that.
Okay, they're sweethearts to you. They're a little, those guys are a little rough, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, Ronnie, I'm thinking maybe your little silver tongue there got yourself in some trouble. I think maybe you were sweet talking somebody at the bar or something. And these Aussies were like, listen, Mr. Stand-up comedian, get the fuck out of here.
No, no. I tell you what, you do appeal to the Gold Coast Australian crowd and the Manchester, England crowd for sure.
Very tough people. Matt does do well in tough environments. Like, you know what I mean? You know, Mogadishu, they were very nice. You know, places that are very scary. They love Matt. Because you know why? Because Matt's a guy, like a guy who's, there's no pretense about Matt. There's no bullshit. So
yes, I agree. And that's why that show, that UFC show, Looking for a Fight, works so well with Matt. People connect with you. People connect with you real well because, yeah, you're the guy who people can feel your sincerity and they also can feel your good intentions.
Now you make me blush, but only you could feel my sticky hands. Yeah, buddy. Little Wing Chun action. Let me ask you, Ronnie, we talked about it a little bit before. Your first day trying a jiu-jitsu class, because I did not talk to you before you really tried it. We played around with the Wing Chun and this and that.
Yeah.
Your first day on the mat, did you fall in love with it instantly? Or was it like, yo, this is so weird and there's a guy on top of me? And tell me.
No, I fell in love with it. I fell in love with the pursuit of perfection in technique and knowing that you're never going to get there. I fell in love with the competition. I fell in love with the working out, the endorphins, the, you know, I think, and I really want, you know, there's no one who will talk jiu-jitsu with me. I'm like a crazy, my wife is like, shut up about jiu-jitsu. No one, that's why I love talking to you guys about it. You know, I talk the ears out of every comic. Everyone's like, shut up about jiu-jitsu, Ron. You're sounding like a goddamn cult member. Because I think if nothing else, like put aside the effectiveness talk of martial arts or whatever, the fact that you can go so hard in sparring in jiu-jitsu and be relatively under control and not, you know, have to get knocked out during sparring, I think it really allows you to work out a lot of your emotions and also lets you train technique, you know, uncooperative training at a very high level. I think it's really what made jiu-jitsu spread so much in America. The uncooperative sparring is really, you know, what it's one of the few arts where you're allowed to do that.
How soon into your training? Because I don't let guys roll live unless they have a wrestling background and I could kind of let them know their objectives. I don't let them start from their knees yet because there's going to be a lot of areas they don't know what they're doing. So when I have when a guy starts out 2 weeks, I don't let them roll live. After that, I let them start from specific positions. All right, today we're escaping the mount. One person is keeping them out, looking to finish, keeping them in. The other person is just escaping. And then they have a clear-cut goal what to do. Just like passing the guard I was doing with my beginners the other day. All right, your objective on top is to get past these legs, secure a dominant position, side control. You know what I mean? So, and then the person on the bottom not letting them. So it gives them clear-cut goals of what they should be achieving. So then when they actually go from the knees or the feet, they're used to all the different positions. Okay, he's cross-side. Oh, I remember cross-side. Okay, I have this way to get out, that way to get out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Your first day rolling, did you start from positional training or was it just Did you feel like
first day training. Well, that's the thing, you know, we're all UFC fans. And so like, I knew all this, like, you know, positional stuff.
Yeah.
Just academically, obviously, no actual practical skills. So the idea of like being in side control, being in, oh, this is an armbar. Obviously, zero knowledge of actually how to execute, but just the idea of like, oh, side control, if you're under someone in side control, it's bad. If your goal should be positional control, whether it's, you know, side control or full mount. So I kind of knew the game a little bit, but not enough to actually do anything. And because I have respect for the game, and so my approach to jiu-jitsu was like, whatever the basics are, I just want to learn the fundamentals. I'm not here to prove anything. I'm not here to fight on the street. I'm just here to get a workout, you know, learn technique, have fun. And so my approach was very much basics. You don't want me to roll? No problem. You want me to do this drill? You want me to do tumble rolls and learn how to fall? No problem. Any, you know, start from the ground up. I think when you come from a non-martial arts, you kind of understand, oh, you need to work some fundamentals. I think with jiu-jitsu, there is a element of when you first start out, you maybe there's a bit of wanting to know for yourself that jiu-jitsu works. And so you go pretty hard because you want to like learn for yourself. Like, hey, does this martial art actually work? If I'm Ronnie Chang, if I go full strength on this guy who knows technique, can he stop me? And so you do that a little bit, right? Just to see whether or not.
Yes.
The martial arts. But after that, you kind of quickly learn the etiquette is, yo, just learn some technique, man. You don't have to go 100% all the time. Also, you don't know what you're doing. You're probably going to hurt someone. So just, you know, calm down a bit. And that's kind of, you know, the natural evolution, I think, of starting jiu-jitsu for the first time is. And that's also, I think, why I get it, why people don't want their students to roll the first 2 weeks, because it's just like comedy. Jim, you get psychos coming off the street. You don't know who this guy is. You know, right. You're putting them, you're getting them in, you're putting your other students in compromising positions with essentially unknown stranger psychos. You want 2 weeks to kind of feel them out, make sure they're not crazy people, make sure they're respectful, make sure they know what they're doing. And
also guys that who probably think they can fight better than they can, who are going to try too hard and wind up getting themselves hurt.
Yeah.
Guys that are just going to come in as aggressive dickheads and then, you know, somebody's going to strangle them on the floor.
Let me ask you something as comedians, because I wanted to ask you before, but I didn't want to take away from Montana. She was my first of all. She was great,
Montana. Very nice person.
She had a good time with us. But you were talking about Montana and her husband Mark, and if they ever, you know, how they felt with competing on the same night. Both you guys, did you ever date a comic, and did you guys ever go on at the same night where she killed or whatever, and then you didn't work out so well for you? Anything like this or no?
I have, dated one comedian many, many years ago. I'm sure we went on the same night a couple of times here and there. I'm sure we did that. And I remember I would be uncomfortable watching her because I would get too defensive if somebody in the crowd was shitty.
Okay.
Like, you know what I mean? Because I was like, that's my girlfriend. I would get very annoyed at people in the crowd. So I couldn't really watch because I would want to fucking throw something at somebody for heckling. And it's like, well, that's the job.
Yeah.
She can handle it.
I never dated someone who did comedy, but it always feels like grass is always greener, because when you don't date someone in comedy, you feel like, oh, if I dated someone in comedy, they will be the one person who gets what I do.
They'd understand, right?
They understand the hours. They understand why I'm running around. They understand my pressures, why I'm stressed about this joke. You know, they get it. And then if you are, I mean, Jim, correct me if I'm wrong, when you are dating them, dating another comic, the grass is always greener again. You feel like, I wish I had someone who could tell me objectively that this doesn't matter, or that, you know, that, someone outside the industry, so we're not, you know, competing in the same field or whatever. So I don't know, Matt. I think it's grass is always greener. I think people make it work both ways, right?
Like, yeah. Or I wish I was alone on the road so I could cheat, like the little.
Fucking Jimmy.
Yeah. But very successful comedians have married other comics, and it works well. So I guess it's really up to the individual.
Yeah. Okay.
I am very interested in Montana's situation, though. Literally, the family business is fighting.
Hey, but by the way, Ronnie, before we go, because our episode is over, where are you?
I'm in Hawaii right now.
You are in Hawaii.
Yeah, best place in America to be right now. You know,
what time is it there right now?
Right now, it's I woke up at 7:45 a.m. for this podcast, and you guys
are
late. So thanks a lot, guys.
What? We were late?
Well, I don't know. I was yeah. This podcast for me started at 7:45 a.m. and I don't do podcasts, and I hate waking up early. But for you guys, I was like, yeah, for sure.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I agree. I hate waking. I do radio in the morning. I hate every day. I love the gig, but I hate getting up. But yeah, come back anytime, man. I love you. Anytime you want to come on, we love having you on.
I want him to make a prediction, though. I want him to predict who is going to win between Rozenstruik and Gaines.
Rozenstruik and Gaines. Man, I'm going to go with
Gaines undefeated.
Yes, he is 7-0.
Just for that alone, I feel like the momentum's with Gaines. You know, if you make me pick, I pick Gaines. I mean, they're both good fighters. That one's a hard one.
Cyril Gane, yes. Cyril Gane and Rozenstruik.
Yeah, I just go with the guy on a hot streak, you know. If just because, but I got no other information to go on. It's very close fight.
I'll be honest, man. I'm probably gonna go Cyril Gane with a second round stoppage. And here's my thinking. I love Rozenstruik, but I did think that. Ngannou was a tough fight. You can't tell a whole lot. Anybody gets caught by Ngannou could have a problem. He fought very well against Junior. But if you looked at the fight before Ngannou, the Alistair Overeem fight, I believe Overeem was almost a 50-45 fight, if I remember correctly. It might have been 49-46. I don't remember. And then he clocked him at the end. But that was a very dominant fight by Alistair Overeem. So I am going to go with Gane in the second round.
Listen to me. I know what you guys are saying. I'm picking up what you're putting down. The whole thing with Gane, he never tasted defeat. Well, you know who tasted defeat and doesn't like the way defeat tastes is Rozenstruik. Okay. And he doesn't like the way those fucking tootsies taste. He's not having it again. He's not having a second helping of a fucking, you know what I mean, of a beating. It's not happening.
Okay.
Not up in here, Ronnie. I'm sorry. Okay. Ronnie, you came on early on the show. You got up early for this.
It's okay. This is what I'm early for. This is what the Matt Serra experience.
I feel like, I don't know if it was that Simpsons shirt or the sparkle in his eye. I feel like I bonded with that man. And I am backing up Rozenstruik. And I feel that the experience, that battle with Overeem, he still stayed focused throughout.
Yeah, that's true. You
could say, all right, early stoppage. Maybe they shouldn't have stopped it, or maybe if they would have let it go to the ref. Whatever. He still rearranged his face, and I love him.
He did, yeah.
And he did it at the very end, so he never lost focus. That tells me a lot. He came back from this loss, beat a former champion. That tells me a lot. I'm going with Rozenstruik, and I'm going to go with fourth round stoppage. I said
okay.
All right. I didn't mean to make that a big fucking scene.
No, I mean, look, you might be right. I mean, Rozenstruik certainly has the power to stop anybody in the division. Wouldn't you love to see him and Derek Lewis too? Like, that's a good fight too, man. Him and Lewis are a great fight because Jones gets the winner. Jones gets the winner of Ngannou Stipe. But then who fights the winner of that?
This is the other thrill for me is getting to go on this podcast and actually meeting the fighters. And now I'll cheer for them. He said hi to me. Yeah, that guy. I want that guy to win now.
But it's hard, Ronnie. What's hard is when you talk, like we had Cyril Gane on and he's a really nice guy. And then we have Rozenstruik and he's a really nice guy. So I'll pick somebody, but it's hard to even like root for anybody because they're both really nice guys. So I'll watch it and go like, fuck, I like both of these guys. I just want it to be a good fight.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I forgot to give a shout out as well. I mean, how about Andrei Arlovski still in the game?
Yeah.
It was cool to see him. It was like, I don't know. It was like, well, a very nostalgic moment to see him on the card. I mean, he didn't have a result, but it was cool to see him back on.
And he was doing well lately, and I'd always pick against him.
Sure.
So I gave him the old voodoo.
You jinxed him. Yeah, you jinxed him a little bit.
Yeah. Seeing Arlovski fight is like watching Grey's Anatomy now because it's like the show's been on for so long. You have this connection to this time of like, oh, yeah, I remember in college watching Andrei Arlovski. It was crazy, just seeing him in the ring.
It is like that. I prefer George Clooney in Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah, I prefer him in The Golden Girls.
I prefer Facts of Life. You want to fucking play the age game?
Wait, he was in the Facts of Life?
Well, you can look it up or you can take my word for it.
No, I'm going to look
it up. He's also in fucking Rotten Tomatoes or the Killer Tomatoes movie.
Hold on a minute.
Right. Go ahead. IBM or whatever the fuck you call that thing.
Facts of, well, I don't know about you, but I'm a Blair guy from way back, and I'm also a Tootie fan. You're more of a Natalie lover. Hold on one sec. Yeah, hold on, Matt.
But please. Natalie Slayer.
Now let's see. Wait, is he in this?
Ronnie, I'm so happy you came on, Ronnie. I love your energy.
George Burnett. You're correct, Matt. Oh, during season 7 and 8. Ah, we don't remember those.
What?
Matt, we don't remember.
Ah, Tootie was still on the roller skates. All right.
Matt,
all
right. Matt, for the amount of punches you've taken to the face and still being able to recall childhood TV, it's very impressive.
Oh, I know. I remember a lot of things. Several ways how to strangle people, even small. Ronnie, I can't wait to see you again.
Listen, yeah, I can't wait to roll.
Fucking around. But listen, Ronnie, if you're ever, I don't know where your comedy takes you. I'm sure all over. If you're ever in Long Island, New York, I mean.
Matt, I live in New York.
Oh, what the fuck am I talking about then? Yeah, you know, I'm used to my other friend in New York, who I never see.
I know.
You ever come home? Yeah. No, Matt. I'm looking forward to. I'm glad we have a new way of having a discussion, which is through sparring. So I'm looking forward to learning as much as I can from you. So thanks a lot.
But really, Ronnie, you can hit me up. I'll get you my number when you do come home. You want to take a ride out on to Long Island on a weekend or something? You can meet me at my school.
I appreciate it.
I would love to show you the place and we'll have a good time, man.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Bring that little bird in for a ride. You guys can have a lesson.
I'll go. I will. I absolutely plan on taking jujitsu. I plan on.
We'll do that. We'll hit on birdos afterwards. Let me know, guys.
All right.
All right. Well, Jimmy, me and you still got to do picks, don't we? Or we're done?
No, we're done.
All right. Fuck yeah.
We're done. We did the main card. I mean, the main event is just it's 6 fights. Ronnie, thank you. Always good to see you, buddy. And I don't have anything to plug other than, actually I'm on Cameo, not the app, but the website. Go to my Cameo. And Ronnie, what do you want to plug?
I just want to plug everyone out there. Stay safe. Take care. We're almost near the end. Vaccine's on the way. Take care of yourselves. That's what I want to plug.
And I like Ronnie said, has a Netflix special.
Ronnie said, I want to plug everybody out there. Good for you. Me too.
Yeah. You have that in common with Jimmy. All right, listen, I'll see you guys. The fights are this weekend. I can't wait to watch them.
Matt, Ronnie, take care. Thanks, Ronnie. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks, Matt.
All right. Bye, guys.